Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
The voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. The American Redoubt is the safe haven and fallback position for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots just like you who are fleeing occupied territory, moving to the already conservative inland Pacific Northwest to strengthen it. Welcome, all of you. I hope you guys had a blessed week. This is May 11th. Don't forget Mother's Day coming up. You'll be in trouble. And also, don't forget, if you are listening in, if you're in Central Washington, you can make it to Wenatchee today. I strongly recommend it. We've got the latest public service announcement from Lady Liberty. We'll be playing at the break with all of the details. But get ready, jump in your car and head out, because that's starting this early afternoon. 1:30, 2 o'clock? Anyway, just make your way to Wenatchee. Well, listen to the PSA. There's all the information you need right there. If you are in the Spokane area listening on the radio dial, you're on either AM 630 or KTW 96.5 FM. But also, don't forget, if you leave the area, the coverage area, you can always listen by listening to the live stream. And you can also listen by dialing our call-in number to listen. And that's area code 605-477-4336. All the different ways you can listen to the shows, and including the archived shows, are available by clicking on the Listen to RFR tab at radiofreeredoubt.com. Okay, man, first of all, I got found, you guys understand the attacks against Representative Matt Shea. And we've been talking about that. I don't want to dwell on that. It's time for us to move on and focus on the mission. But I have to say, RedoubtNews.com did an amazing piece called Fake News is Selling by the Pound in Spokane. Excellent expose. And it's just the first of much more that they have. But it really shines the light on what's part of what's behind that. So go check it out at redoubtnews.com. Look for the article, Fake News is Selling by the Pound in Spokane, attacks against Representative Matt Shea. And those of us who call him our friends, and we are in the fight to preserve liberty. I know there's a lot of church security guys out there in the listening audience, pastors as well. Alerts USA put this out earlier in the week. Security is increasing at churches and synagogues across North America in a run-up to start of Ramadan. That was last Sunday, May 5th, that began. That's going to go all the way through like June 4th or 5th. So increased vigilance and security awareness is urged for our places of worship. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk about something, the spiritual warfare that we're in. Last week, as most of you know, there was another school shooting in Colorado. We've seen violent physical attacks carried out, actual attacks, not threats or not somebody's fantasies about what they'd like to do to somebody who is in opposition to them. We're talking about actually carrying out unprovoked, violent physical attacks against pro-life activists just for standing next to signs that have messages speaking out for the unborn. The spiritual warfare is intensifying. I want to take you to the Colorado school shooting from the perspective of a listener in the audience in Colorado, listening to the event unfold in real time while tuned into the police scanner as this event unfolded right there in his community. So I want to share this with you. Because the slipstream media doesn't tell us the whole truth, as we know. Dear JJS, on May 7th, two students of the STEM, that's the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math School, in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, entered the building and began shooting. Why am I writing about it? Because that STEM school is about 2 miles from my home and 1.5 miles from where my youngest son attends another school. As soon as the event was announced on AM radio, my wife and I turned on our BCD 436 HP. That's a scanner that we purchased for AMRON and emergency communications. And we listened to the entire event unfold in real time throughout the afternoon. You've already seen this story on the news, and the media did a relatively good job of reporting the real truth, albeit adding a lot of manufactured drama, augmented terror during interviews with parents, and sensationalism. The facts were reported pretty close to accurate. The Douglas County deputies are brave heroes who arrived within 2 minutes of the 911 call because there is a 400-yard access road connecting STEM with the deputy's substation here in Highlands Ranch. What the news media did not tell you is this. There were two shooters. One was an 18-year-old student of the STEM school with a satanic pentagram and a 666 on the hood of his car. And the other shooter was a younger transgender STEM student. The police revealed this morning that the STEM shooters killed one student and wounded 8 more while hunting Trump supporters, Christians, and any other people deemed to hate gays and trans. Both of the shooters live on the other side of the grocery store where my wife buys our food. Remember hearing that famous phrase, "It can't happen here"? Well, it just did. And both of the shooters were students at the School for Gifted Einsteins, the smartest of the smart. One is a Satanist, the other is a transgender. Apparently, it's open season on Trump supporters and Christians, according to the super academics. So this is where these are reality headlines in our culture, and this is stuff that the news media is not going to report on. Last Sunday night, I did a segment, I did the whole episode, mostly focused on identifying the adversary, specifically the roots of Marxism, socialism, and communism. The root of socialism and communism is revealed through the evidence that we found in research that Karl Marx, a lot of his Karl Marx quotes and his poems really reveal a war against God, claiming that he wishes to, just like Satan vowed to, dethrone God and set his throne above God's. And he reveals these in his poems, Karl Marx, the war against God, and Karl Marx's alliance with Satan. So I want to take you to Ephesians 6:12. A lot of you guys, you're familiar with this verse, but it bears repeating. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that is a beautiful summary of where we are. I believe that I'm a strong proponent of having the means of self-defense and following the founding fathers and the longstanding American tradition and their advice of every free American must be armed and ready to defend life, liberty, and property. That holds true today. I think it's a timeless standard. But really, the necessity of those arms are due to the lack of willingness, I think, in our across the church to engage in spiritual warfare. And we're just not doing it. We're checked out. It's going to lead our culture to a point where then we'll be forced to deal with this spiritual warfare as it spills over into the physical world. this week, just what, yesterday, a couple days ago, actually, Joe Biden, former vice president, who appears to be leading the contest among the nearly, what, two dozen Democrats, read, socialists, running for president in 2020. And he gave a speech in Hollywood. He says, I promise you, if we elect a Democrat this time, I predict you, whether it's me or someone else, but I guarantee you, if it's me, what's going to happen is we're going to see this country come together like it hasn't for a long time. Well, I disagree. I think you're going to see a continuance of this country coming together at war against not just President Trump, but against our American traditional heritage, our Christian values specifically. But he goes on to say, because people are tired, they're sick and tired of what's happening. He says, we need to lift our heads up, remember who we are, and let's take it back. He said, and let's go take it back. But see, what has happened, the truth is, what has happened with President Trump becoming president is those who have divided us have made us sick and tired of watching our country be stolen from us, and we went and took it back. But see, they're arguing that they need to take something back that doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to those who hate American ideals and traditional ideals and our Christian culture and heritage. It doesn't belong to them. They took it. They stole it. And we pushed back. And now they're saying we need to take it back. Just like this leftist, far leftist extremist group claiming they're going to reclaim Idaho. Leftists are going to take it back. Conservative, Republican, red Idaho. And they're running on a platform of taking it back as if they ever had it in the first place. So this is the mantra that they're running. We're here to take it back. Well, coming up in the next segment, I want to cover a story by Sam Culper from the Forward Observer. For those of you who don't subscribe to Forward Observer, I highly recommend it. I think his analysis nails it as far as what's really coming in our country from a internal conflict perspective as an analyst, which he was a former intelligence analyst, Iraqi veteran. And he just does a really good job over at the Forward Observer. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about that. So we'll just leave it at that. This segment was brought to you by Werks Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z. Werks.com is the website to go and learn how you can get your custom-made holsters and Kydex magazine carriers, which are made right here in the American Redoubt by Patriots with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. There are a few announcements to make. The people of Liberty State will be holding two huge multi-county rallies in May. The first is in Wenatchee on May 11th from 2 to 4 p.m. at BPOE Grand Ballroom at 27 South Chelan Street. The second major rally will also be a dessert fundraiser and will be in Spokane Valley on Thursday, March 23rd at the Event Center. Bring your favorite dessert recipe or personal household item or donated service to the auction to donate to the cause. There will be live music, updates, and several great speakers. So mark your calendars and plan to attend. You won't want to miss history in the making. In addition, we have finally made it out of the grueling marathon session that was one of the worst in the history of Washington. Republican leadership agrees that Liberty State is now the best hope for the people of Eastern Washington if we ever want to restore the power of our vote. We had 12 different representatives at the Lexit rally speaking in support of the divide. Since then, session has ended and some of the worst bills in history have been passed, causing even more elected officials to join in with the people's effort. Western Washington reps were even supportive of it because the residents will need somewhere they can move to in order to escape the catastrophic bills the Democrats passed this year. Liberty State is now in phase two, where we have just started our official grassroots outreach to invite all the elected officials from every county and district to join in and support Liberty State. All our county captains have been given their new marching orders and are now setting hearing dates with the county commissioners and their other elected officials so they can invite them to join in with the rest of the 74% of their constituents that want this division to happen as soon as possible. It's time to bring all your elected officials on board. Look for the hearing dates in your own counties and be sure to show up in mass to let them know you support the Liberty State effort and that you want them to represent your wishes. We are the majority. We are currently the 74% that must insist on being represented in our wishes to restore the power of our vote through the dividing of the state. Now is the time, and it's now or never. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Please visit us at libertystate.org today.
We're back at the John Jacob Schmidt Show. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Welcome, John Jacob Schmitz, to segment two, which is brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Down there in St. Mary's, Idaho, about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene on the St. Joe River, go to riverfrontsuites.com to learn more about scheduling your little weekend getaway. All right, now, in this next section here, I want to point to this Forward Observer dispatch that's put out for subscribers. I spoke with Sam Culper this week at length, and we were talking about putting together, you know, the emergency communications and intelligence network effort in response to the upcoming hurricane season. Last year, we saw a really uptick in the tempo of and the intensity of the hurricanes. And that's expected to continue. It's suspected that that will continue. But he does a really good job of handling intelligence from a patriot preparedness perspective, how to make sense of the landscape of what's going on around you. So not just natural disasters, but also with an eye on conflict, what he calls low-intensity conflict. So I want to share this with you. I think it's a really well-done article, and I think I have enough time to get through it. He put this out just a couple of days ago, and I'll put the link in there to Forward Observer. It's FOMAG.com or Forward Observer Magazine, but FOMAG.com. We're going to schedule he wants to do an interview with me, and I'll do an interview with him, share a lot of our audience. There's a lot of bleed over in our audiences, cross-pollination. So this is what it is. For a couple of years now, This is Sam writing. For a couple of years now, I've described low-intensity conflict as the doctrine which best represents former president, who will not be named, America. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the term, low-intensity conflict is actually a military term. And Sam does a good job of really defining that here. He says, I believe very few things said about the current quote-unquote civil war. But here's what I know to be true of our current domestic conflict. One, it's low intensity. Low intensity conflict, or LIC, is the doctrine of war below the threshold of conventional war, like tanks, troops, planes, but above routine peaceful competition. Anything over 1,000 deaths a year from political violence would be classified as a civil war. That's certainly a much higher intensity than what we're seeing now. Low-intensity conflict is characterized by political, economic, diplomatic, and information warfare, along with low-level politically or ideologically driven violence. Now, another example, and he's got a link here for additional examples of that once you go to his article. Another characteristic of low-intensity, as we've seen throughout history, is a relatively small percentage of the population engaged in violence. It may only be 1% of an entire country at war, while another 5 to 15% support the violence, and 75%+ of the citizens are just trying to live their lives. Now, those who disagree sometimes reply, go to your grocery store, go to the bank. No one's at war with each other. Everything's fine. You're making too much of this. This is not 1861, where up to 10% of the country is fighting each other on battlefields and the effects of conventional war are widespread and devastating. In low-intensity conflict, historically, it's only a small fraction of a country doing the fighting, and most people live among the disruption to go on about their business. Plenty of civil wars and domestic conflicts have looked like that. And that's exactly what I'm seeing shape up in the United States. Two, we're in a hot peace, quote-unquote hot peace, P-E-A-C-E. Sam goes on to write, I certainly would not characterize America in 2016 through 2019 as being at peace, other than the absolute absence of outright war. The cultural Cold War has turned hot, albeit at a very low level. If you ignore this, then you ignore reality. The latest example is yesterday's shooting in Denver, in which a transgender male opened fire on his classmates, reportedly in revenge and anger. And, of course, as we know now, that's actually two shooters. One was a Satanist, the other one was a transgender. That's an extension of the ongoing culture war. And another indicator that the decades-long cold culture war is going hot. Attacks against Trump supporters, anti-fascist violence, white identitarian violence, black identitarian violence, police-involved shootings and reprisals, the assassination attempt on Representative Steve Scalise, and other House Republicans during softball practice, and the demonization/dehumanization of others based on race and class, which lowers the barrier to violence, all are examples of our multi-sided culture war going hot. Number three, it's very likely to worsen. The tectonic shifts in American culture have caused periods of political violence before. The civil rights movement, the race riots and unrest between 1968 and the 1970s, and abortion clinic bombings are a few key examples. But even those conflicts eventually died down. Oftentimes, conflict is generational. One generation goes away and the future generations develop their own problems. For current generations, I believe conditions are more likely to worsen before they get better because the culture war now includes more fronts that foment the anger and resentment that cause political violence. The areas of everyday life that have been heavily politicized and the ways in which Americans can express identitarian anger and resentment, such as race, gender, class, politics, ideology, there's plenty of overlap there, have grown over the past decade, thus leading to a higher potential for violence. Not only has the number of cultural battlefields grown, but identitarian anger and resentment, the desire to get even or exact punishment against others based on race and class, has become more acceptable. As political violence becomes more acceptable among the extremes, you'll see more of it. Four, we could have just 2 to 3 years before we see routine, sustained political violence. For as long as I've been writing about low-intensity conflict, I've warned of the effects of the next recession and financial crisis on the political and cultural climate. I now believe that the next recession and financial climate crisis have an above-average chance of happening simultaneously. Class and race warfare, I believe, will worsen as we move through this period of economic and financial uncertainty. High youth unemployment is a universal indicator of civil unrest and violence. What I'm seeing in America's future are social bases charged by race, class, and or politics, and also lack economic opportunities and the hope of a better life that comes with it. That may be because artificial intelligence has taken their jobs or their parents' jobs, or because they can't afford higher levels of schooling, or because unemployment is so high that there's just not enough jobs to go around. Maybe it will be all three. What concerns me, and again, I don't see any of this as imminent, but I do believe it's coming over the next few years, is that I see a convergence of a perfect storm scenario with radicalized social bases, a dim economic outlook, and loss of hope, political leaders who give a green light or at least tacit approval to political violence, and a belief that violence is the preferable solution. What a time to be alive. Always out front, Sam Culper. Sam does a really good job in his analysis. I think it's, I appreciate his work because it is truly objective. But back to the spiritual roots of where we are, if we don't return to God, now we have, I believe that we are seeing the last, I believe President Trump will win in 2020. But after that, I think you are looking at the last Republican president of the United States. And I hope I'm wrong. But it is the spiritual warfare is so intense. I want to share with you something from Romans 1:18 as we come up on the end of the show. The wrath of God, this is Romans 1:18-21. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. I believe that that really speaks to where we are. And I mentioned the book last week, The Fractured Republic, Think Seasonally and Prepare by Vival Levin. This talks about this shift from conformity to diversity, from unity to fracturing, as one of the prevalent threads in our history, and especially our current history. I believe that the former CIA whistleblower, was it Kevin Shipp, I believe? I know Shipp was his last name. He describes what we're seeing right now as a coup against President Trump. He expects to see, and we're talking about an actual coup, what we call a soft coup. He says we're not in a so covert civil war already. A lot of conflict. It requires a lot of prayer. It requires us to stay in the Word and stay close to God and stay on the right path. But I think that we should prepare for the eventuality, mentally, spiritually, for the eventuality of the Antichrist, the Antichrist sentiment and spirit that's there to really take hold and manifest itself. So anyway, join us tomorrow night for at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. I hope you guys have a blessed weekend. And if you can make it to Wenatchee for the Liberty State Rally, please do so. You'll be blessed by it. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, you know the rest.